Do you believe in ghosts?
Hello, you're listening to Ghost Stories, the podcast. As usual, I am your host, Tyler. Coming to you a day later than expected, because in the past week, and those of you that follow Facebook will notice, my new baby arrived. So my wife gave birth, and she's 8 days old today. So it's been an absolute handful in our house. So yesterday, I just had to focus on family instead of trying to get an episode out. But hopefully that's all right. We've got a really good one for you today. This is going to be our most listened to episode of the past year. But first off, let's talk a bit about season 7. If you don't know by now, you will. We come back 5th of July for Patreon listeners. So if you want it early, get on there, drop a buck. It's all it takes, and subscribe, and you'll get it straight to you almost a week early. Otherwise, 9th of July, we're coming out everywhere else where you subscribe. Spotify, iTunes, Audio Boom, anywhere. There's a lot of platforms you can listen on. And whilst I mention that, if you're listening to one of those platforms now and you've not subscribed, why not? Click that button. It takes you 2 seconds. But the most exciting thing of our season coming out, new season coming out, is it'll be our 50th episode. So our first episode of season 7 will be our 50th of the podcast, which I'm really excited about. I can't believe how much content I've created, especially considering how many breaks I take for things going on. But it's a massive season coming up, and I've already got half the content ready, and I'm going to start recording actually next week. So getting really ahead of the game this time. So yeah, so let's get on today's episode. It's part 3 of our 4-part season 6 wrap-up, where we're looking at our most listened to episodes of the past year. So the last 2 weeks we've done 3rd, 2nd, and today is our most listened to episode of the last 12 months, which was a birthday surprise. And actually, interestingly, it was our most controversial episode we've ever released due to the twist. So a few people were questioning it and saying things about it, not in a negative light about us, but the episode itself. So I kind of like the fact that it's made more discussions than our other episodes, purely because of what goes on in it. It's a good one. I like it for a few reasons I'll go into after you listen. So you listen back and make sure to stick around, because I'm going to talk about the origin of the story, the production side of it, and of course, if it's based in fact or a pure work of fiction. So don't go away. This is a birthday surprise. I pulled up to the little house on Bertrand Lane, feeling pleased myself that I found it so easily. Sitting next to me was a gigantic bouquet of flowers that I took in my hands, and with bounce on my step I made my way to the front door. After only a couple knocks, the door was opened by an attractive young woman, and she shivered slightly in the fall air and said, "Can I help you?" "Yes," I said cheerfully, I have a delivery for Miss Caroline Lubinsky. Is she home?" The woman narrowed her eyes and cocked her head to the side. "I'm Caroline. What's the delivery?" "Yes, ma'am," I said. "Your grandma sent you flowers for your birthday. Happy birthday, by the way." Her eyes widened before welling up with tears. Is this some kind of joke?" she asked softly. I frowned. No, it's a woman came into my shop and she said she was your grandma. Adele, I think her name was. I held up the bouquet. She chose all the flowers herself and told me exactly what to put in here, and asked me to hand deliver them to you on this day exactly. The woman turned her eyes skywards as if saying a prayer. A single tear broke loose and ran down her cheek. "I don't believe this," she said. "You have to be joking." I paused for a second. "I can promise you this is no joke. It's a serious delivery. Really sorry if it upset you. I can leave if you'd like." No, it's all right," she said. "Did you want to come in for a moment?" I hesitated for a second, but finally agreed, and I stepped into the front room of her house. The room she brought me into was quite charming, actually. Sunlit living room with a large fireplace on one wall. My eyes were drawn to the mantel where the pictures had been arranged with some great care. "There she is," I said, pointing to one of the photos. "Your grandma, she's the lady that came to the shop." Caroline paused. She put her hands together in front of her face and said, "Please sit down. I didn't catch your name." So I told her it and took a seat on the sofa, holding the bouquet in front of me still. You can put the flowers on the table, she said. I'll grab a vase in a second. She lowered herself into her armchair, but first she looked at me and said, you need to tell me everything. I stared at her blankly and was like, what do you mean everything? Well, when that woman, my grandmother, I guess, came into your shop, she paused for a moment. I could tell by the quiver of her lips that she was fighting a burst of emotion, but at last she regained her voice. I need you to tell me exactly what happened. I pursed my lip and rubbed my knee as the image of the day came to my mind. Well, I said, I guess it was pretty straightforward. Slow day at the shop, and this little old lady came in and said her granddaughter was turning 24 in a week, and could she pick up some flowers so I can deliver her a bouquet? And so I followed her around the store. She picked out flowers that she thought you'd like, and told me to hand deliver them 1 week later. And then she simply paid and left. Caroline grabbed the picture and leaned towards me, held it out with an outstretched arm and said, and it was definitely the woman in this picture. I took a moment to look at it and really sum it up in my mind. Was I sure? Was it definitely her? Well, I was sure, but she even made me doubt myself a little. But I said, you know, as God is my witness, it's her. I'm positive of it. But why do you keep asking this? It's so confusing. Caroline was silent. She slowly rose from her seat and began to wander around the room, holding the picture in her hands. I don't know how to tell you this, she said. And as she inhaled sharply, she turned and faced me. My grandmother, the woman you saw, she's dead. I instantly straightened up in my seat and looked at her. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, I had no idea. It must have happened so recently. Well, yeah, it was recently, she said. But she came into your shop a week ago? I thought back, I was like, well, yeah, I have it logged in the system that she came in and made a purchase exactly 1 week ago today and told me to deliver it. Like I said, Caroline was visibly shaking now. She stared intensely into my eyes and said, the funeral was 2 weeks ago. My jaw dropped. I don't know, I'm... She cut me off mid-stammer. Her tears flowed freely. Now, as she flopped down into the sofa beside me, I want so badly to believe what you're telling me. She buried her face in her hands and sobbed. Gingerly, I inched closer and placed my arm around her. I gently rubbed her back as she continued to cry. When her last sobs began to lessen, I told her, you know, I think this might have happened for a reason. She looked at me confused and replied, what do you mean? Well, I continued, what if your grandma didn't want you to be alone on your birthday? What if she wanted to send you some company, maybe not just any company, maybe the company of a nice young man about your age? She tilted her head to the side, keeping her eyes gazed straight at mine. You know, I continued, both of us being single, are you single? Yeah, she said. She completely stopped crying by now, and I could see that deep inside the gears were turning. I reached over and brushed a strand of her hair out of her face with a lace touch. Do you think I can make you happy? Her lips pressed up against mine, a violent show of some passion, and without going into detail, you can probably guess what happened from there. And I tell you what, it was amazing, it was fantastic. In fact, it was one of the best since I started playing this trick. You see, it was simple enough. I'd start by rifling through the obituary section of the local newspaper. I'd look for the ones with the pictures of deceased, then Facebook stalked their family members, hoping to find, you know, a cute daughter, a niece, a granddaughter. In this case, Caroline was particularly convenient. What, her grandma dying just 2 weeks before her birthday? I wish they'd all work out that cleanly. I lay basking in the afterglow of my latest conquest, with Caroline resting her eyes on my chest, a far cry from the blubbering mess she'd been downstairs. She now hummed a blissful tune as she absently traced circles on my skin with her finger. All in all, I'd say she was having a pretty good birthday, possibly the best in recent memory. It was then an old familiar feeling overtook me, as it always did in these situations. Hey, where's the bathroom? I said. She smiled sweetly and pointed away and sent me off to my destination with a kiss. I didn't realize the night had fallen during our little romp, and momentarily startled by the darkness of the hallway, I stepped carefully through the shadows, feeling around for a light switch, all the while the floorboards creaked and groaned beneath me. In spite of myself, between the darkness and the creaking, a tingling anxiety worked its way into my spine. You're being an idiot, I scolded myself. There's nothing to be scared of. To reach the bathroom, I had to pass the stairs that led back down to the first floor. As I neared them, I heard the sound. Someone was moving around down below. I stopped dead in my tracks. All the horrifying possibilities ran through my mind. Was it an intruder? Is there someone else here? I'm sure we were alone. A full minute passed before I realized I was being silly. Caroline probably had roommates and they just came home, I thought. Or maybe a family member that lives here. You know, most people don't necessarily live alone. Encouraged by my thoughts, I straightened up and strolled past the top of the stairs. It was out of pure curiosity that I looked down as I went. I stopped again. My heart leaped into my throat. Standing at the bottom of the stairs was a figure, aged and bent. I'd seen that face before. It was the same woman from the picture on the mantle. It was Caroline's grandmother. The same one who'd been dead for 2 weeks. Waves of malicious intent, radiant from where she stood. For what felt like an eternity, we simply stood there staring each other down. Then with a motion that was surprisingly firm from such a feeble frame, she started up the stairs. I ran. I could see the bathroom at the end of the hall. My salvation. Frantically, I reached inside for the light switch but couldn't find a damn thing. I could hear the woman's rhythmic steps getting nearer and nearer. There was no time. I threw myself into the darkness that filled the tiny room and slammed the door shut. The darkness that surrounded me was heavy. I couldn't make out a hand, an inch in front of my face. I fell up and down the walls for any sign of the light switch. The sound of my heavy breathing and beating heart pounding in my ears all the while. At last, I found that familiar plastic button and pushed it eagerly. And there she was, stood directly in front of me, her scowling face inches from mine. I screamed louder than I'd ever screamed in my entire life. Her hair was thin and hung messily around her shoulders. Her eyes, hateful black holes, burned fiercely out of a pallid and stretched face. The pair of thin lips twisted themselves into an expression of pure, destructive anger. My eyes remained locked with the old woman's face as I fumbled for the door handle. At least I felt it open, and only then I would allow myself to turn back on her. I threw the door open and was met unexpectedly by a concerned-looking Caroline. I yelped in surprise, causing her to do the same. "What's the matter?" she asked. "I heard you screaming. Did you hurt yourself?" I didn't answer. I only stood there for a moment. I turned hesitantly to survey the rest of the room. It was empty. No surprise of the old woman anywhere. I pushed past Caroline and made a beeline for the bedroom. I moved so quickly that I already put half of my clothes back on, and by the time she appeared in the doorway, she said, Are you leaving? Yeah, I said as I continued to dress. Seriously, she demanded. I could hear the emotion rising in her voice, but I didn't give anything even close to a damn. I was getting out of there, and fast. I could hear Caroline spouting obscenities and declaring her birthday was ruined as I bounded down the stairs and out the front door. Only when I was sitting behind the wheel of my car did I finally feel safe. I stayed there for a moment, rubbing my temples, trying to make sense of what just happened. In the middle of my thoughts, I turned my head to look at the house one last time before I left. My blood ran cold. There in the front window, staring down at me, was the same pale face of Caroline's grandmother. Well, how about that? I did tell you is one of our more controversial stories for obvious reasons, that twist in at the end. And it's actually a story I like. So I think part of it's kind of like a good old creepy story, which is always nice to put out there for our listeners. But the various kind of twists and turns throughout that we experience makes it kind of a different experience to our usual stories we put out there. So first off, when it starts off, and it's actually quite enlightening and sort of a happy story initially, this idea that a grandmother could send her granddaughter some flowers from beyond the grave and really show her how much she loves her. And I tried to reflect that kind of air of happiness throughout with the tone of the music in the background playing. It's very lighthearted and almost a bit whimsical to a degree as you're listening, and I think that setup really lures the listener, and you'll know better than me because you've listened to it. I've only experienced the production side, but hopefully lures you into this sense of security. You know, this is a nice story, this things aren't going to go wrong. However, and there's that moment, and I don't know if you'll listen to it, I don't know if you'll noticed it. Hopefully you didn't. Hopefully it's subtle enough that you felt it and didn't quite notice it, but I went for the change in tone to really enhance the drama of what was going on. The kind of happy music or not happy, but the kind of downtone music that wasn't there to kind of shock or scare sort of fades as this conversation going on, talking about the grandmother sending flowers and stuff, and you'll notice it gets to a moment of silence. And when there's the reveal of she's dead, the music kind of pulls back in, and it tonally, it's completely different. It's gone from this kind of, like I say, I use the word kind of enlightening, sort of this kind of life affirming, oh, our grandmother's doing something nice, and, you know, from the beyond the grave, we're being looked after, to all of a sudden the really spooking the listener and spooking out the storyteller, because we're experiencing it through his shoes. From the moment he arrived, the granddaughter was already scared. You know, she was already pretty like taken back about, wait, what is this? Is this a joke? And suddenly you step into the shoes of storyteller. That's kind of where the creepiness starts to ramp up. But the thing is, and what made this really controversial episode, is that wasn't the actual main twist of it. And when it becomes revealed that the main protagonist, the storyteller, that he's actually there knowing her grandmother's passed away and to take advantage, you'll hear the tone shifts again. So it's this third tonal shift. So rather than putting you in the shoes of a protagonist, it's at this point you realize you're kind of a fly on the wall of the situation through the kind of various phases you've gone through. You're into a third stage now of, wow, this person's a real creep. Maybe there's not a ghost involved at all. He's just here to kind of take advantage. And this was something that was raised as kind of a controversial part of the episode. And when people are voting there, if they're based in fact or fiction, they're voting for pure work of fiction, honestly, because they're saying, I hope this isn't true. I would not like to think that there's people like this in the world. Unfortunately, there probably is. Hence why we have this story. So I think when you have that step, and it's something that I don't think we've done in any of our previous episodes. I'd have to go back and look. Obviously, there's quite a few of them. But this idea that we've never switched up before now to have the listener turn on the storyteller, which I think is a really interesting concept, because suddenly you've gone from a state of kind of empathizing with the person that's telling you the story to really being like, whoa, I do not like you, which means you hit the point where the ghost of the grandmother's coming. And whilst actually you try to set up this idea of if it being scary, I often wonder if the listeners actually are sitting there then rooting on the ghost of the grandmother to get the storyteller, you know, and really put him in his place because of what he's done, which is not often the position we're in. So it does make me wonder if actually maybe it's a less scary story and more like of a triumphant one when she shows up, which is a very odd take to put on it. But again, you'll notice that kind of shift in tone. And this story, the big thing that makes it, if we took the music out of it, I think you wouldn't get those strong shift in tones for when we learn more information, because that's the thing, as a listener, you're gaining information throughout. And normally you're gaining information at the same time as the storyteller, but it turns out he kind of knows everything throughout until that final part when the grandmother shows up and she's coming at him after everything happens. But the big thing is, and I know you've all tuned in and listened to me rant for a good 5 minutes about the story and how it was put together. I hope you find that interesting, but if you didn't, I imagine you're here to find out if it's a pure work of fiction or based in fact. So, to reveal, A Birthday Surprise is in fact a pure work of fiction. I'll link to the original story in the description for this, but it is another one that I got from a creative writer off a creepypasta website. So I do, like I said before, a lot of our listeners send stories in. Sometimes I go and seek them, and I like to work with people telling about their own experiences as well as creative writers, because both of those give us some kind of a good mix of stories. And I'm great. I'm glad to say that this wasn't true. Admittedly, if I got sent this story from a listener and they were adamant it's a true story and that they did this, I probably wouldn't give them the airtime. So I think that's a dead giveaway, and one I'm sure you all caught on to as well. But yeah, that's about A Birthday Surprise. Our biggest episode, or I should say our most listened to episode of the past 12 months. So thank you all for tuning into that one. It's done really well. And I think maybe that kind of controversy or controversial part of it is a big reason. So before I let you go, I'm going to give the usual line of, if you've not subscribed already and you're listening on your phone, your tablet, your and Alexa device or whatever, subscribe now. It's a simple click of a button and it really helps support the podcast. And the more subscribers we have, the more visibility we'll end up getting. If you've done that and you've not left a review, why not drop a review? 5 stars, of course. Tell everyone how much you love the podcast. And if you've done both those things, amazing. You're a great person. But you could do one more thing, and that's share us. Tell your friends and families, because we actually get most of our promotion through word of mouth. That's seen us grow so far. It's because you listen to what other people tell you. So that's how I find most of the podcasts I listen to, because I've got such a big list now that I actually rarely jump into iTunes and search through who's there. I tend to ask friends and family, you know, what are you listening to? Of course, if you've done all that, thank you so much. There's always Facebook if you're on Facebook. One day, I hope to update our Instagram again and maybe even get onto the world of Twitter. And if you want to go that extra mile and really, really help support us to get to that next level, you know, the goal being an episode a week instead of every fortnight, you can drop us as little as a buck on Patreon, and that'll give you early access to content. The other thing that's really exciting is we're working on additional content for subscribers. So there's a few people who've been in touch about stories, and we're kind of looking at what we can do to get people onto Patreon. Extra content to Patreon, and that might be stuff like interviews, additional reveals, maybe even extra stories. That's all being planned right now, and I can't wait to share more. But in the meantime, there's also, depending on the tiers you go on, you can get stuff like t-shirts, notebooks, all sorts. It's really great. There's some awesome merchandise there. I ranted on for nearly 10 minutes revealing the episode and whatnot. So I'm gonna call it there. But thank you all so much for listening. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be back with our final episode of season 6 of the podcast. We've done the top 3 episodes of the past year. This next one is actually going to be producer's choice, I'm going to call it. So it's my personal favorite of the past 48 or so episodes before it. So yeah, make sure to take care of yourselves, and we'll see you then. And don't stop asking,
do you believe in ghosts?